Fisher Body Historical Team interview. Today is Tuesday, January 31st, 2006. It's approximately about 12:15. We're in the UAW Local 602 Frank Dreyer Greenhouse. First, we'll introduce the team.
Earl Nicholson.
Cheryl McQuaid.
John Fedewa.
Gary Judy.
And Marilyn Coulter. Today, we're here with Prisciliano and Atanasio.
Atanasio.
We're going to start out first. If you could both please say your name and give us the correct pronunciation and spelling. You want to start, please?
Okay, my real name is Atanasio Trigo. And I'm going to spell A-T-A-N-A-C-I-O. Yeah, Trigo, T-R-I-G-O. And I'm a junior. But they call me, they always call me Nacho.
Nacho.
Yeah. And E-N-A-C-H-O.
Can you give us your address, please?
That's 407 North Union Street in St. Louis, Michigan.
And are you married?
No.
Do you have any children?
I got two girls.
And were you born in St. Louis?
No.
Where were you born?
I was born in Sinton, Texas.
Sinton, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And your education level?
I finished high school.
All right. Were you in the military?
No.
All right. And what did your parents do?
They used to were farm workers.
Farm workers?
Yeah. They used to work on the farm.
Oh. And what?
Field work.
Okay. And Prisciliano, could you please give us your name and address, please?
My name is Prisciliano Celestino Anguiano. My name is, first name is Prisciliano, P-R-E-C-I-L-I-A-N-O. Celestino, C-E-L-E-S-T-I-N-O, Anguianos, A-N-G-U-I-A-N-O, and my nickname is Chano, C-H-A-N-O.
And your address, please?
What?
Your address?
319 North Delaware, St. Louis, Michigan.
And are you married?
Divorced.
Do you have any children?
Three.
Boys, girls?
Two boys and one girl, Jason McCormick, Raymond Anguiano, and Esmeralda Maria Guiano.
And where were you born?
Alice, Texas.
In Texas also. Yeah. And your education level?
12th grade.
12th grade?
Finished, graduated in 67.
And were you in the military?
Yes, I was in the Army.
Oh. How long were you in the military?
4 years.
4 years. And what did your parents do?
My dad was a truck driver and my mom was a housewife.
Okay. Well, first, then this question goes to both of you. We can start with Atanasio. Can you please tell us, or would you prefer we call you Nacho?
That's okay.
Atanasio? Atanasio, can you please tell us what brought you to Michigan?
Well, actually, we were down in Minnesota. We work on the beet fields over there. We used to go every summer over there. After school was over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to go to school, because my dad wants to learn English. Because my parents didn't speak English. Mm-hmm. So we went to Minnesota about four times. And my grandfather, he used to live in Mason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. And so we came to see him about three times, In the same time, we had to pick pickles down in Leslie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I finished high school, we did the same thing first. They went to Minnesota, working in the beet fields, and then we came over here. I told my dad that I'm going to stay here. Yeah, because I didn't want to go back to work in the fields, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So I stayed with my grandfather.
Oh, so you came picking beet and stuff because you were like migrant workers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Prisciliano? What did you do before you came here? And what brought you to Michigan from Texas?
$50.
$50 brought you to $50.
No, see, when I got out of service, I wanted to buy a car, and I needed $50 to buy this, I think it was a Dodge. Anyway, I went around, asked my family, nobody had $50. I probably would have got a cheaper car, but I wanted this car, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think one of my friends says, "Hey man, let's go to Michigan. We can find a job real quick." So I'm like, okay, let's go, man. You know, so we came over here. We came here in January, dead of winter, 1970. There was snow up the yin yang over there in St. Louis. I just left some snow over there in Germany and came back over here. And it was about 7 feet higher, something like that. I said, God damn. So I worked. I ran out of money, so I started working with ACAP. Mm-hmm. I was a bus driver for transporting Indians to the powwows or whatever. They needed a bus, you know. They wanted to go somewhere, and they called ACAP, and ACAP provided with a bus and took them to wherever they wanted to go. Oh. Then one day, this friend of mine, Juan Villa, had gotten hurt, and he worked here in Lansing, mm-hmm. in Fisher Body. So he asked me if I could bring him over here. He had to come to the hospital. Uh-huh. So I said, yeah. So I came over here, and he went to the hospital, and I was sitting at the table, and there was a whole bunch of applications, and I started writing. And then some guy came over and asked me, was I finished? I said, yeah, I finished with that one. So he took it, you know. I said, well, when can you start?
And that's how you hired him?
Yeah. I said, when can you start? I said, tomorrow. So that's how I started here in Fisher Body.
That's how you started here.
Yeah.
And how did you get hired in at the next show?
Well, see, you know, but like first, I went to work down at the United Glaze on Aurelius. You know, they make bricks and, you know, they put color on and everything. And I was there for about 3 months. And I came to Fisher Body apply. And then I went to Oldsmobile, right? And then they called me from Oldsmobile. But I wanted to hire a Fisher Body, so I came every week, about twice a week, and talked to Jerry Brooks every time. And finally, he told me, well, why you come here so long? Every time I thought, I want to work. And finally, I guess he realized that I wanted to work. So he told me they could report tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
So you wanted to work at Fisher Body, but why were you so adamant about working at Fisher Body?
Because I knew people used to work here, and they always tell me how good of a place was and everything. I see a difference. I see a difference by the type of work that I was doing compared to that kind of work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it was my type of work was hard work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and everybody thought that it was a better job here and a better pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was times that I wanted to go back, you know, but, man, I always thought about the benefits.
So, when you thought about the benefits, mm-hmm. so, I sat with you, Prisciliano, this time. Do you remember what was the first job you did when you hired in? Do you remember your first day in the plant? What did you think about it?
It was scary because I started in the jungle on the body shop.
And what's the jungle?
The jungle is where they spider well cars and frames and all that stuff. So, yeah. You know.
What did it look like?
That's where they started the body from.
What did it look like? Why did they call it the jungle?
Because there were hoses all over the place. I mean, it looked like a jungle.
Really?
They had big hoses and sparks flying all over the place. And it was scary. And plus, you didn't know how your way around. And finally, like, they had to lead you where your job was. Mm-hmm. And then I never had no experience in working in a factory.
Yeah.
I have never worked in a factory in my life. I worked in oil fields. I worked in construction. I worked in the fields. But working in a factory was an experience to me.
And what was that experience like for you?
Oh, at first it was like scary, you know, because, man, him and one get hurt with one of these things or get caught or something. But, and then you get adjusted and then you do your job.
And how long did you work in the body shop?
89 days.
Really? 88. How long did it take you to learn your spot welding job?
I'd say like 3 or 4 days.
Do you remember what part that you were doing?
I was welding the rocker molding, the dog leg, the center dog leg, and I think it was the quarter, the rear quarter.
So these are all different parts of the
car. Yeah.
Oh, the base of the car?
Yeah.
The floor pan of the car?
No, no, no. The bottom rocker.
The bottom rocker?
The one that holds the bottom, the dog leg, the quarter, and the center poles for the four doors.
What's a dog leg?
It's an L-shaped metal that is, that's for the door, to hook the door and the fender. And the top part was for the roof. Uh-huh. And the center part was for the front door and rear door. Uh-huh. And the quarter is the rear fender.
Cheryl McQuaid. Cheryl, what year did you hire in, and how old were you when you hired in at Fisher Body?
I hired in 1970, and I was 23.
And what about you, Nacho? What year did you hire in to Fisher Body, and how old were you?
I hired in 1965, October 12. I was about 19.
And were there a lot of Hispanics working in the plant when you hired in?
Yeah, there were some. Yeah.
And that's you. Do you remember what your first day was like? You remember the first department you came?
It was different. I had to learn my job. Yeah, you know, the people were different, strange. You know.
Strange how?
Well, you know, the surroundings and their characters.
The surroundings and their characters.
Yeah, you know, because I was not used to that.
What department?
I was used more to the open, you know, to the field.
You were used to being outside.
Yeah, you know.
And did you hire in the body shop also?
No.
What department did you hire in?
On M trim.
In M trim?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So do you remember what job you did on there?
Yeah. Right here, first job.
That's your first job?
Yeah, you know, and I was putting the defrosters inside the job.
You put in defrosters, and you brought a picture. That's great. Thank you. But now, when you say it was different in the culture, was it culture because there were different types of people there?
Yeah, I know. I wasn't used to that. I was used to more to my race.
And
you know. And besides, my English wasn't that good either. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, so actually, by coming here, I started my English more better.
Now, how was that for you, coming into a place of different cultures where you're used to being around primarily Mexican people, and then all of a sudden, wow, you're with all these people, and you have a difficulty communicating? What was that like for you?
At first, I wanted to go back home.
You wanted to go home?
Yeah, you know, but man, I thought about working in the fields, and working in cotton gins, working in the silos, working in the grain elevators, man. Sweat, you know, hard work, you know. And here, I see something different than something that it would be better for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. A future. Yeah, you know.
Your dialect, being able to translate, communicate with people was better once you came here. Was there somebody that you worked with who taught you, who translated for you? How did that work for you?
No. See, you know, I had to, see, you know, I knew English.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. But not that well enough, you know, mm-hmm. to speak it like I do now. See, you know. Mm-hmm. By talking to other people.
Just by talking?
Yeah, you know, by having communication with other people. You know, on the job training and everything. Yeah. You know.
So with on the job.
My ability to learn. I wanted to work.
You wanted to work.
Yeah, I liked it.
Was there anybody who, so to help your ability to work in things, was there anybody specific who kind of took you under their wing and helped you out?
Yeah.
Remember who that was?
No, you know, because the thing is that, you know, there were a lot of people there.
Okay.
A lot of people that were willing to help you.
A lot of people wanted to help you?
Yeah.
So were you ever treated differently because you didn't speak the language that fluently? Or pretty much people wanted to help you?
That's when I first started? Mm-hmm. No, everybody.
No, everybody tried to help.
Yeah.
Everybody was working. Mm-hmm. Did you find that to be the same for you? Or you didn't have the same problem?
Yeah, I had a problem.
When you hired into the plant and, you know, there were some Hispanic people in your department too, I take it. Okay, gentlemen, we know that, I know that you, Celiano, is called Chano, and you, Ignacio, are called Nacho. Now, were these, well, I'll start with you first. Nacho, was that something that you came in the plant with? How did you get the nickname of Nacho? And why?
Because, you know, because some people couldn't, you know, like some people couldn't pronounce my real name. Except, you know, the Caucasian people, white people. Yeah, you know, they didn't say my real name, so, you know, don't call me Nacho.
And did you come in the plant with that, or did you, was that a childhood name that you came in, or did you find get that nickname from within inside the plant?
Well, then, you know, from the outside, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you came in the plant
with
that?
Yeah, yeah.
And Chana, what about you? How did you get your nickname?
Same way, but they couldn't pronounce my name because it was too long, and it's called Presiliano. Mm-hmm. So they shortened it to Chano.
Chano.
And my sister, they used to call me Chano Chano. So they
got stuck. Your sister's called you Chano?
Yeah. So I got stuck, you know.
Okay. So for the rest of the interview?
For the rest of my life, I'm being called Chano.
So today we'll call you Nacho and Chano? Is that okay?
Yeah. Chichinchon.
Okay. Well, now I know that. Now, you both are from the St. Louis area.
Yeah.
Is that true? So. You're living in St. Louis, and you've lived in St. Louis your whole time that you've worked in the plant? How did you get...
Nacho worked here. I lived in Lansing for almost 2 years, and then I moved back to St. Louis. Mm-hmm.
But initially, how did you get to and from work?
Carpool and bike together, and sometimes by yourself. Mm-hmm.
How many people rode in your carpool?
At first, it was 4, 5, 6. You know, then back in the 80s, I think it was like 23. Yeah.
So you got a van,
a bus. Well, a van, and then it was a bus. Mm. So Roger Anna used to bring us over here. Huh? Paid him. At first, it was like $15. As gas went up, we would start paying him more. But well, the more we paid was like $20.
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah, because he used to work here too.
Oh, okay. Earl?
Yeah, Earl Nicholson. Chano had told us about his first vehicle and why he came here to get that. Did you actually get that vehicle?
Yes, I did. I got my first vehicle, and I think I worked here 3 months. And I bought me a Dodge Charger. Purple, it's white vinyl top.
What kind of engine did it have?
It had a 383. And man, this car was nice. But the first day I brought it to the shop, somebody took a key and got it from one end to the from the fender to the bumper. They scratched it. Mm. Brand new purple Charger.
Oh. Did you ever find out who did that?
No, I didn't.
How about you, Nacho? What about your first vehicle?
My first vehicle was a 1966 GTO. It was kind of navy blue. It was a white convertible top, 4-speed, with 3 deuces. And it had a 389 engine and a 4-speed. Because I like the fast cars.
Okay. Both of you were quite young when you came in. When you hired in, was there any pranks or any initiation, new hire initiations that were played on you when you came into work here?
No, not for me, because, man, when you work in there, you were beat. There was no, probably to people that were, you know, as the time went on, oh yeah, they did. They told me I'd get a free turkey.
The turkey.
In Thanksgiving, I get a free turkey at the union shop. But all right, I was already wise to that, because that shit happened to this other guy beside me. Mm-hmm. And he was bragging he's going to get a free turkey, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think Gilbert Trevino told him, hey, man, they're just pulling your leg, man, you know. So that was the first one, but then I was already wise to it. So.
What about you, Nacho?
No, they didn't.
No pranks?
No.
Did you ever notice any pranks that were played on people?
Yeah, I see that.
What was the funniest prank you ever saw played on somebody in the plant?
Like sometimes they was connect the motor or something, you know, or put different screws on the box or something. Yeah. It's crazy stuff.
What about you, Chana?
Oh, man, a spot welded. You turn the gun, just the motor, the gun just a little bit to right or left, mm-hmm. and it would shoot sparks to wherever you tilted, mm-hmm. and it would shoot sparks just to your face, or because we were real close. You know, when we used to do this job, the frame would come and stop right in, and you had like 5 seconds to do all the shit, do all the spot welding, and the guy beside you would just tilt it, and all the spark would hit you in the face and all over your body, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And this other guy would do the same thing, you know, tilt it the other way, but both of them were funny. They both hit you at the same time, go shh. Yeah, spark flying all over the place.
So there's sparks and everything going. Was there any kind of protective equipment that you had to wear when you were working?
At first, we didn't. Then they gave us a little beanie hat, the cloth type, the blue one, mm-hmm. and shop coat.
And shop coat. Did you have to wear any eye protection, hand protection?
Just some eye protection.
Eye protection?
I mean, I think they gave us gloves, but nobody could work with the gloves, so we never wore them.
What about, Nacho, in this picture that you have, that I'm looking, you don't have glasses on.
At that time, we didn't have to. Back in the day, it depends what kind of job you were doing.
It depended on
what.
And this is back in, this picture says it was dated in February of 1966.
But I had gloves, though.
And you had a picture taken of you mm-hmm. in the plant.
Yeah.
That was something that was kind of rare to have happen, was that not?
Maybe if I see my friend who take this picture, then he might have some more pictures.
Okay. Now, did you always work in trim? Trim shop?
Yeah.
And did you always work in the body shop, Chana?
No.
How long did you work in the body shop?
Just 90 days. It was before my 90 days, and then I got laid off.
You got laid off?
And then I came back. In 70, well, I came back, June? It was before the strike.
Okay.
I came back before, I think I was on like a week or 2 weeks, and came back, and then we had the strike,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I got my 90 days.
Okay.
When we had the strike.
So what department did you come back into when you came back?
Trim.
Into trim. So you both finished out your time in trim?
Yeah, because I was in the powerhouse there for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to go with you first. Chana, when you hired in the body shop and then you went into the trim shop, what differences did you notice on working in the jungle in the body shop to go into trim?
It was a lot cleaner, and the people wasn't like pros. There was no hoses like in the jungle where it dropped down from the ceiling, you know, they're just cars. I started the frame, then I seen the after effect when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I seen the colors and the cars and that we were building instead of the body parts.
So how were the people in trim versus the people in body shop?
They're about the same, you know, but there were more women.
There
were more women in trim.
So now, what was that like for you going to them from the body shop where there weren't many women, and then all of a sudden all these women are in trim shop? What was that like?
It was fun. It was fun, you know. They get along together. I knew mostly all of them. I ain't talking about women, but I get along with all the people that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Some, not all of them, but some.
Mm-hmm. And now, Nacho, you said that you worked in the powerhouse. What's the powerhouse, and what did you do there?
Because I used to work on the wastewater treatment.
Wastewater treatment?
Yeah. I was there for about 2 years. And I had 20 years seniority. And I was a low man, so I had to go back to my training.
And you went back to training?
Yeah.
Okay. So you worked there a little bit. So
because in that way, I wanted to go back to premium, you know, because we had no more overtime in the powerhouse.
Ah.
Yeah, you know.
So what type of overtime were you getting in powerhouse?
You know, like Saturday and Sundays. Yeah, you know, because when I first went over there, you know, we had a lot of overtime.
You work in Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, how many hours?
Wastewater treatment, 8 hours.
8 hours, seven days a week. Oh.
Yeah. And then they come out with they call it equalized hours.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. And my bank, you know, just went down. Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Because back in overtime, it was all volunteer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Overtime to volunteer.
Yeah.
Alrighty. And so, now, Chano, do you remember what the first job was in Trim that you did?
They were door wipers.
Door wipers. Oh. And what did you have to do with the door wipers?
String wires through the doors and string some wires through the body. I did the front door.
Now, did you work in teams by yourself?
No, we work in teams. There's three guys to do the job.
And that required, what, every third job or something?
Yeah, every third job.
So what was doing every third job versus working in the jungle like?
It was a lot easier. I mean, you could get the right car till you finish your job. By the time you finish your job, you get a little extra time to get your stock and then put it in the other car and then just ride it down the line.
Oh. So tell me, what types of things did you do for breaks? You want to start? You can begin.
Gambling too? Well, we used to play cards and take a break.
You take breaks, you play cards?
What well, kind of? You get relieves. You get, what was it, really? 3-5 minutes? 5 minutes? I think it was like 5 minute relief. Or,
are you talking about the 6 minute wagon you're talking about?
Yeah, we had wagon too, but I'm talking about the relief. They give you relief.
Oh.
So some guy came over and relieved you.
Oh, okay.
So you take a break.
It was like 12, 14 minutes, something like that, to get relieved?
Yeah, 12.
Yeah, I forgot how many it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My 12, mind didn't 13 or 14.
Too many Budweiser's.
So what type of cards did you play during breaks?
We played tonk and poker and mostly poker.
Really? And poker? And
then euchre sometimes.
And euchre?
Yeah.
Euchre's a game that a lot of people play in the plan,
yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Chano? What did you do for breaks?
Nacho.
Excuse me, Nacho. What did you do for breaks?
Is that when I get my 12-minute break or?
Whatever you did for breaks.
Anytime?
What you did for breaks, what you did for lunch. Well, we'll get to lunch in a minute. What type of things did you do for breaks?
Because my thing, when I was working, I tried to stay up the line there, you know. I try to stay ahead, you know, with my job, so I can come back, have time to read the paper, or go talk to somebody right quick, or go get a drink of water. Yeah. But if when I had my break, my real relief break,
mm-hmm.
I would go to talk to some girl or some guy. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh.
Go to a different department. You know, you do something.
So now you said that you worked up the line. Can you explain what up the line is, and is that something difficult to do, to work up the line?
That's when you stay ahead of your job all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that you work up to the job. And by the time you get to your job, that you got here about 3 or 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. Or maybe I go do my own stock too, you know, all the stuff.
So three minutes,
I always try to make time for myself.
You make time for yourself.
Yeah,
3 minutes was a lot of time on the line. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. I was around by now, though. Now it could be different now.
Mm-hmm. So, what did you guys do for lunches? You want to start with that? What did you do for lunch? Where did you go? Where'd you eat?
At first, I have to bring my own lunch. Yeah, you know, and then we sat down. I go eat with old people. Yeah, you know, some friends of mine. Yeah, you know, or else we go out. Well, at the end, it got to a point that I used to go out and bring some beer. Yeah, you know.
Just go out and have a beer.
Yeah.
Come on back to work.
Yeah, you know.
Uh-huh. Where'd you have a beer?
They used to go to the store and get it.
Oh, you go to the store and just.
I used to drink in the parking lot. Yeah,
so
Dave's.
You go to Dave's parties?
Yeah, I need to go buy a couple of jumps and drink it. Parking lot.
In the parking lot?
Yeah.
Was that in Chano? What about you? What did you do for lunch?
Sometimes you go to the bacteria, the cafeteria.
The bacteria?
Yeah,
what's the cafeteria?
The cafeteria.
Yeah.
And
most of the time, we went to Dave's and get a quarter and a bag of pork rinds and drink in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we went to Harry's. Fridays we went to Harry's because it was payday. So,
what was Harry's and what made payday special about going to Harry's?
No, Harry's is, what is it, hamburger, the corner beer joint. What do you call it? Neighborhood. They got food, cash your check, drink some beers.
Mm-hmm. And they cash your checks?
They cash your check there.
Really? They cash checks there every week for people?
Yeah.
Wow. And now, how close was that to the plant?
Across the street.
Across the street. And what was that? Was Verlinden, right?
Yeah, Verlinden Street.
So, did a lot of employees cash their checks at Harry's?
Yeah, they did.
Really? Oh. So,
it was packed on Friday.
It was packed.
Friday nights and days and nights, just, you know, they go catch your checks.
And people catch. And you can also buy your lunch
you
there.
Yeah, buy your lunch.
Or drink your lunch.
Yeah. Go outside in the parking lot and drink a six pack or something.
A six pack of lunch? Okay. Alrighty. So, how did that work? Did General Motors not mind you going over to Harry's, or your supervisors ever get you in trouble for going to Harry's or anything?
They at first they did, but then there's too many, so they couldn't.
Some people.
Then they couldn't do nothing about it. I mean, depending on the supervisor.
The supervisor.
Yeah.
About the same for you, Jim Natural?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you mentioned supervisor, that takes us to another place. Supervisors. They were good supervisors, and they were bad supervisors. What made a good supervisor to you guys?
Hey, somebody you can relate to. You know, like Cook. Del Talver. Del Talver was, I mean, he would fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dean Marshall, I think he was, the superintendent.
Jim Marshall?
Yeah. He always wanted to burn people, but Talver, he tell him straight out, hey, look, he's a good worker. He comes here every day. He does his job. Sometimes he fucks up. But I'm the one that's going to tell him, not you. You know, you tell me, I tell him.
Oh, I see.
So, give you a lot of slack.
So that made a good supervisor.
He was a good supervisor.
That was a good supervisor.
I mean, mostly all my supervisors were good. Mm-hmm. Except for one.
Which one was that?
I can't remember his name. Used to work in class.
What made him a bad supervisor?
Oh, man, he was always in your ass, always cussing.
Is that Gordon?
Yeah, no, that wasn't Gordon.
Earl Nicholson, what was the time period for when you were in class?
Oh, it varies, man, because I was used to do sun loose and T-tops.
So I do recall a supervisor named Ken DeRosa.
No, I wasn't. Okay. It was just lately, some colored guy.
Mel Hanley.
No.
Hanley.
Yeah, Don Lee.
Al Siebel?
No, Don Lee.
Don Lee.
Oh, I remember him.
And what made Don Lee a bad supervisor?
Well, he didn't know. To me, he didn't know what he was doing. You know, he had another problem, too. He was in the military, and he would get in your face, you know. Mm. And he'd be yelling at you and spit coming out of his mouth. And, oh, man, get that. You say, get the hell away from me, man. What the hell wrong with you, you know? I mean, he would get real loudmouth.
Mm-hmm. So he's disrespectful.
Yeah.
To you, in your opinion, it sounds like.
Yeah, to man, to everybody.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Nacho? What made a good supervisor for you?
Somebody you can talk to. Somebody that... you know, because your supervisor, that you were doing your job right, like it's supposed to be done, right? In the end, you had to be their way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. Of course, they could be the book way. I don't know, man. You know. And, yeah, again, of course, I had a couple of two that were pretty bad, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and kick. One was Von Swarthoff. Boy, when that first came over there, boy. See, the human rolling word. to be honest, they try to discriminate.
They discriminate.
Yeah, by not giving the job that I was required to do,
mm-hmm.
a kind of my seniority, they always gave it to me. You know, somebody white. That, you know, be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, I fought them, and I got my job, you know.
Now, is that something that either one of you, obviously you ran into, you run into discrimination on the job because of being Mexicans?
I didn't, because my job would just like just name calling. I mean, call your name, but you call them right back, and you know, sometimes you get into a fight. But other than that, you just name calling.
Earl Nicholson. When you say get into a fight, what do you mean by that?
Well, like punch somebody out, you know.
Right, so it was physical altercation.
Yeah, either that or in the parking, mostly in the line, and just like you said, an attitude adjustment. Right? Couple, three, four swings, and then you broke up, and the foreman didn't see it. You were all right, you know. But other than that, it's fine.
So we've got an issue of altercations and supervisors burning people. How was your initial union experience in the factory? I mean, did you get along good with your, and I'm talking to the both of you, did you get along good with your committee people? Did you know who your committee people were? Did you ever go to union meetings?
Yeah,
well, I think the best committee man we had was, what's
Al Humac.
Yeah, Humac. Now, he would fight for you.
Al Humac.
And,
he's gone already.
No, that was in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. Early 70s, I mean, late 70s and early 80s.
And he was the type of guy that if you put a call out to, he'd come, no matter who you were, he would come
yeah.
out.
Yeah, he would, I mean, he would verbally abuse the foreman and the general foreman, you know, and get whatever had to be done, taken care of.
So he helped you.
Yeah, you know,
the, like in my case, you know, supervisor used to come, well, you don't like it, quit. Go.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Because I was fighting for the job that I was supposed to be doing, you know, that I applied for. But they always gave somebody else. Mm-hmm. Then in the end, I would call Al, man, and he would, you know, and then he was playing that one. Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm.
All
right. Yeah, you know, like Ron told me once, you know, I'm going to go, well, hey, do you think that I'm discriminating you? Yeah, you know, because I applied for that job, you know, for that repair job. Yeah, and you give somebody else with less seniority. But that will work out.
So did you ever attend union meetings?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Did you when you were attending the union, did you know who Walter Ruther was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Black Lake.
Oh, you went to Black Lake?
Yeah.
Okay, describe Black Lake. What is Black Lake?
It's like a learning center.
Okay.
Yeah, no, because me and my girlfriend, you know, we've been camping out there. Yeah.
We're going to come back to there for a second. I want to go back into the plant for one second. Nacho and Chano, we talked about the times you felt discriminated with. We'd already talked a little bit about language differences that you had. Did you find in time, because you're bilingual, you were able to help maybe some other Mexicans who didn't speak Spanish? I mean, didn't speak English, so you had to translate. Were you ever called upon to help your fellow workers that way?
Yeah, myself, I did a lot of times.
You did?
Yeah, you know. And I even worked in my department because I was a relief man. You know, most of my time there, I was a relief man. And I would... And I work with the people there who didn't speak English.
And so you know, translate for them?
Yeah, you know. And sometimes people call me to the office, for me to translate. Yeah.
And make it
for enjoy them. Doing that, yeah.
Uh-huh. And did you do that also, Chano?
Yeah, when I first hired in here, the hire was three Mexicans. Margarito, I don't know his last name. Hector Valles? No. Hawaii, I think it was, and Jose Hernandez, I think he was, and they didn't speak English, so I had to translate for him. And for Pancho,
Pancho Ramirez.
Yeah, Ramirez. Marcelo Ramirez, I think Marcelo.
Yeah.
And he worked in glass area, didn't he?
He worked in the glass area.
Now he's somebody that I didn't know, Marilyn. And he didn't speak hardly any English at all, did he? Even when he retired.
Yeah, you know what? He did.
He chose not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows.
Uh-huh.
He was on dummy.
But he chose not to.
Yeah.
So that was one way you were able to help your coworkers.
And you know what? I helped this deaf mute, Bob Lawson. Back in, I think it was like in the late 80s or early 90s. They had put a new phone for him in the supervisor's office.
Oh.
So his wife could call him. They would type his name, you know, and say, "My name is Bob Lawson," to his wife. And the supervisor was Manuel Herrera. And at lunchtime, he didn't want to go, because his wife always called at lunchtime. And he didn't want to go tell Bob that his wife called. And he would get pissed off, because when he get home, his wife said, "Well, how come you didn't answer the phone?" He said, "Well, I didn't know nobody called." So one day he told me to help him out in my on my break, you know, when his wife called, to go answer the phone and to type that Bob would be there in a few minutes. So I did. And every time, you know, lunchtime, that's when I was working on glass, but every lunchtime I would go and, you know, I hear the phone ring, and I go in there, or Herrera would tell me, "Hey, sign to me there's a phone call." So I go down there and I get the phone and pick it up and type, "Hi, my name's Chano." You know, I said, "Bob will be with you in a few minutes." Then I go call Bob, and he will go and, you know, then he will do his thing.
Excellent. Earl Nicholson.
Earl Nicholson, you mentioned Emmanuel Herrada. Latino supervisor?
Yes, he was.
When you hired in, were there any Latino supervisors on the line or that you knew of?
Yes, there was one, I think, in the body shop was Dave. It was Dave Lopez? It was Dave. I don't know if I forgot his. I think it was Dave Lopez.
And this was back in the 60s?
In the 70s.
In the 70s. Yeah. So when you first hired in, there were no.
There was two of them, but I can only remember one. But I can remember the other one.
When was the first time you ever noticed an African American supervisor?
Oh, there used to be a lot back in the '70s. You know?
And women, female supervisors.
In the '70s, like the late '70s, I think there were some women supervisors that I can't recall. But Dorothy was one, I think it was. So I don't know her last name.
Okay, gentlemen, questions for you. So you both hired in the late 60s, early 70s. What are some of the biggest changes that you noticed working in the plant? You, either one of you can take it first.
Well, the most I noticed was...
Channel.
The channel. The supervisor's different.
How so?
Well, at first, they had all the supervisors that were with you for, you know, your job. Well, and they were with you, and then it changed. But as the time went on, you had this hired supervisor that would come in, and they didn't care about the people. They cared about their job.
So you're talking about the contracted supervisor.
Yeah, the contracted supervisor.
So that was a big change.
That was a big change, you know, the change of cars back in the 80s, from, I think it's 84, from a Oldsmobile to a Pontiac, Grand Am.
So did the processes change also?
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. But when we were building, it was 98s and 88s. We used to do like 315 jobs from when we started till noon. And then we did like, I think it was like 245 when the shift ended. It was like 500 cars that we did every day. But when we got the Pontiac, that dropped like, say, a couple hundred jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it stayed on till the plant shut up and when the plant went out.
So what type of changes did you see, Nacho?
About the supervisors?
About the building, the environment. What are some of the big changes you noticed from working yard in the late 60s and you?
By the time I retired?
Mm-hmm. What are some of the big changes that you noticed?
The, you know, the supervisors too.
Supervisors.
They were only thinking more about their own selves. Mm-hmm. You know, about their job, you know. And besides, I know the management would, you know, were pushing them too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, adding more to the people and all that stuff, man, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about your coworkers? Did you look at them as family?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they family?
Yeah.
What did you do for holidays and things like that? What type of things did you guys do? And did you associate, couple of questions. Did you look at them as family, and did you associate with any of your coworkers outside of the work?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. You know, we go out, have cookouts, you know, go out dancing and all that stuff.
You
know.
You cook out dancing?
Yeah.
Mostly the people that associated with was the guys from here, they're from my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and guys from like from Texas, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we go to a friend's house, you know, a white guy, and
mm-hmm.
like Dale Bruner, or who's the other one? Can't remember his name.
So they had some.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the people hang around with him on the outside too.
On the outside too.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
some
yeah,
people
yeah.
had a big impact on your life on
yeah.
the outside.
Yeah. You know.
What about holidays? Did you guys do anything special in the plant during holidays, birthdays?
We used to have a pot dinner.
Potluck.
Well, yeah. You bring a plate or you pay money to eat.
Mm-hmm. So you had benefits also, did you not, for other workers?
Yeah.
One of the things that
because I lived in Lansing for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so I knew a lot of people here, you know.
So you lived in Lansing for 20 years?
Yeah, you know, like in weekends, like in summertime, they used to play baseball all the time. They used to play for the union too.
Now, so a question. If you lived here in Lansing for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
what did your community think of coworkers? What types of things did you hear about people who worked at Fisher Body?
They didn't say anything. They we got a good job and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, they didn't.
Think we were rich.
Yeah.
They thought we were rich.
Yeah.
We for General Motors.
Earl Nicholson, not that we ordered, opened that Pandora's box. He working at Fisher Body. Single. You know what was that like? I mean, were women more or less attracted to you before and after? I mean, you know, you're a young man, you're hired in the factory, you're making a lot of money. Good, you know. I mean, is this something that when you went out to a dance, is that something that you think might have attracted women to you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, because myself, you know, I was well dressed, you know, to go out and everything, you know, clean, yeah, you know,
well mannered,
and I had money, yeah, you know, they people could see, especially the people that he was brought up with, or the Mexicans, they were different. You got an A, you know, well, you got a good job and other stuff, you know, that you're making money now, you know. Yeah, you got a maid. Yeah, you know, what are you getting there? I'm going to find out if I got a maid. Yeah, you know.
Chano, I just heard you get a giggle out of you from that.
I do know some Mexicans that, I mean, they went overboard, you know. They showed their fancy rings and necklaces.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell they came from nothing into something, you know. I mean, you could see these clowns, man, you know. You could tell. These motherfuckers showing up, you know. Damn, man, you know. But other than that, you know.
He's showing that they got money and all that shit, you know. No.
They had that good team.
Yeah.
So,
but
they
forgot where they come from.
So, working at Fisher Body, did that did that elevate you in your own community on some level?
Not mine, man.
No? They just treated you the same?
They're just the same.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Little plain Jane, whatever you call it.
Okay, gentlemen, question to you. And that is that in working in Fisher Body, people always said we were noted as the capital of quality, you know, bodies by Fisher. What was it that you think made Lansing Fisher Body a step above the rest? What made us the best?
People.
People?
Yeah, yeah. People in there.
Channel?
I think the quality of the jobs. You know, they were, at first they were, I mean, you can buy an old wheel and last forever. You know? Mm-hmm. But then we got these new jobs. I mean, they look different from the ones we used to build. And people kind of like them, and you tell us, hey, man, we're building this new car, so look at it, man. Maybe you can buy something.
Now, I know earlier I asked you, too, about changes. Now, both of you have been here from a long time where we had one type of working, and then in the 80s, the late 80s, they started having employee involvement. What do you think about that, or were you ever involved in any of those processes?
What kind of process?
Take a break.
So, when we talk about employee involvement and employees getting involved in the process, I know the quality of work life, otherwise known as QWL, that was something that came around in the 80s. Was that something that either one of you got involved in?
I did myself, though. Yeah, you know. Because at the time I was a relief man, and I had to bring back some stuff to the people I relief and everything. Mm-hmm.
So you got involved because you helped give out information.
Yeah, right.
And what about you, Channel? Did you participate in it?
Yes, I did, but you know what? We didn't have that in the when I hired in here till the 80s or the middle of the 80s. That's when we started getting that employer involvement and all that. Mm-hmm. But I usually went just because they paid me my lunch hour.
You got paid lunch.
I got paid lunch hour and
half hour,
half hour pay. And
how often were these meetings?
They're once a week.
Once a week. But do you think that it did have some impact on the product?
I think it did.
You think it did? Okay. Now, I know one of the things that we both heard you talk about, we're going to just digress a little bit. You both talked about strikes. Can you talk about a little bit about the strikes, maybe the first strike you were on, how long you were off? How did it affect you? Were either one of you on strikes?
Yeah, you know, they went back. You know, strike, you know, we had the, you know, we had the long strike.
What happened with the long strike?
Well, actually, we were fighting for 30 and out, regardless of age, and for overtime, and for our health benefit.
Mm-hmm. How long were you out? Do you remember?
What was it, about 6 months? I don't know.
60 some days.
Yeah. It was a long time.
So how did that affect you?
It was in winter time.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, my thing was that I was a captain and I had my crew there from 8, from until about 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, you know, in front of Fisher Body, right in front of the doors.
So now you said you were a captain. Does that mean you were head of strike detail or something?
Yeah, you know, I had my group.
Do you remember how many people were in your group?
About 5, I think. Yeah, you know. And we were getting paid around $35 a week.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that was strike pay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have any incidents?
No. You know, there were people that wanted to come in there, but, you know, put a stop to it. You know, couldn't. Unless there's somebody that had to be in there. Mm-hmm. But no. You know, my problem was that people used to go to the bar and drink a lot of them. So I had to go get them. Come on, let's go back out. I think it's okay. Cold, though.
It was cold.
Yeah.
What about you, Chato? Were you ever in a strike?
Yeah, I was 70s that Strike Notch talking about. Another thing that Strike, it was too because of, we used to work a lot of overtime. Mm-hmm. And when they, and in the strike, we had, after the strike, we had voluntarily overtime, to where you had to sign a piece of paper, you want to work over 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I used to have, I worked mostly in the parking lot when I wasn't the leader, but I carried a little sign that says UAW on strike.
Yours was in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun there, you know. We just sit around, bullshit, and just walking back and forth a little bit.
It's for a cause.
Mm-hmm. For a cause?
Yeah, you know.
Earl Nicholson, you mentioned benefits. What were the benefits that you had before the strike as opposed to after? What was the improvement?
They, you know, they, we had some better help.
Oh, stop tape. Okay. All right. What I'd like to know specifically is what did you gain from the strike?
We got a better vision, dental, and pay. Was it pay personal holiday? It was a where you get a day a week. Or was it a month? A month?
Mm-hmm.
You get a free day with pay. And that was nice, man. You know, a lot of people used to come in when they had the personal day off. They forget all about it. So either they send you home. Mm-hmm. You had a free day off and come into work, you know. Just like a rat factory. Is it a factory rat? You go to the hall every day to eat your cheese, and then when they get it, put it on the door here, it's free day, you know, free cheese. Yeah.
Okay.
Help.
So you probably don't remember that, no? About the Reagan cheese?
The Reagan cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
That
that's
was
when
on
19, Reagan used to be.
19... In the 1990s.
Yeah.
So let's talk. We talked about a strike as a work stoppage. Were there any other work stoppages over a period of time that you'd like to talk about?
I think we had one day. We had one of those wildcat days.
You recall a wildcat?
Yeah, we had one here.
A wild strike.
And there was one day, everybody just walk out day. You know.
Yeah.
Do you remember what day that was?
No, I don't remember. But we had one of the wild days.
So it was it a wildcat or?
It was a wildcat strike, you know. One day, everybody left the plant.
Wow.
I can't even recall what day it was. I mean, what month or what year. But we had one.
So, Cheryl?
Cheryl McCray. I'm sorry, gentlemen. It was so nice talking to you. We need to wind up your interview. Is there anything that we've not asked you that you'd like to tell us about? Maybe your favorite memory?
Like when you talk about quality in that place there, like myself, you know, all in 33 years that I worked there, I did my best. You know, I did quality work. Yeah, you know, because I seen a lot of people that would throw the motors and everything, do scratch the jobs and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. But myself, you know, to me it was an honor to work there.
I had a lot of fun working here, you know. I met a lot of people, and I seen a lot of people, you know. A lot of people died too. Friends that you were friends with here in the plant. That's the saddest part, man. You know? You do your time, say 30 years, 30, 40 years, and then you walk out the plant, and a year later, or 6 months later, you're dead. I mean, that's the saddest part of for me working here, you know, seeing my friends, you know, die. And there's a lot of people here that they were, I call friends, family, both Hispanics, Well, they call them Chicanos then. Latinos. African Americans. Negroes. Niggers. Excuse me. And whites. And hillbillies. You know, there was a lot of them. And I'm glad that I was a part of it. I knew most of the people that work in the trim, night shift and day shift. And there's a lot of them.
Marilyn Coulter.
I have one last question. This has been such a wonderful interview. But gentlemen, I know, Nacho, you said that you were involved in your union. Can you tell me what impact, what you did in your union and what impact your union had on you? And then I'd like to stop with that.
Because I learned that place taught me how to help somebody else, you know. And by getting involved with the union, you know, and by going to Black Lake, I learned more about the union, you know. What was the function of the union, that, you know.
John?
I wasn't involved with the union. I mean, I came to meetings once in a while. But I think the last meeting I came was, had to do with my work, sunroofs and T-tops. They were trying to eliminate it, I think. And I came here, Union Hall, sat down, listened to everybody's bitching. Then it came my turn to bitch. Well, I only brought it up, and then they had to adjourn it. But how does it go? You bring it up, then they...
They tabled it.
Yeah.
For investigation or something
right.
Like that.
At that time, they were looking for people to come vote. And I dominated. I raised my hand up and I dominated Willie Fuller to be come vote.
Okay.
And my friend Hector, he seconded it, and then they put it up to a vote, and he was elected.
You know, thank you for sharing your stories. Mm-hmm. It's been awesome.
It's great seeing you guys.
No offense saying the N-word, you know, because you know, I knew a lot of black people. They were nasty.
And we got him in
our
wrist, and that's okay, but I've known
you
for a long
because
time.
Because in my case, you know, if it wasn't for my bad knees, man, I would have still been there. Mm-hmm. And
now,
playing Jorgen there.
Okay.
I'm going to stop.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.